Well, it is time. Now is the time to worship. A warm welcome in Christ to all who are gathered here, in particular to any who are with us maybe for the first time visiting. I hope you get a chance to experience God's embrace and God's welcome through ours. I'll acknowledge at least one of those visitors later during the sharing and prayer time. You may have noticed coming in today some flowers in places that you haven't seen them before. There are three sets of beautiful flowers here today in advance of later this afternoon when we will celebrate the life, the memory, the contributions of our recently departed brother, Vernon John Gaylor. I mentioned that at the beginning of this service, first of all, to draw your attention to the flowers. Also, to encourage you to think about coming and joining during that time. But the presence of the flowers in his name reminds me that whenever we gather to worship, yes, we gather in the presence of each other, but that worship is also an anticipation and a participation in a worship that is ongoing and timeless and much bigger than ourselves. The worship of all creation of heaven and earth, angels, saints, and more. And that this is something of a, shall I say, a dress rehearsal for that timeless, wondrous gathering with people of every tribe, tongue, and nation around the throne of the Lamb. And so with that in mind, let's just take a moment to greet those immediately around us with a word of blessing and appreciation for their being here. And then also come forward if you have any announcements. At some point, we need to get on to announcements. Please don't make me use my teacher voice. If you have any announcements, please come forward.
I simply want to draw your attention to an announcement that is in the insert in your bulletins regarding the upcoming meeting of the Mennonite Historical Society. I think it will be interesting. I'm seeing some excitement about it, and so I encourage you as well. And there is a need for some helpers.
The words of our ancestors in the faith always serve for me, at least personally, to help lead into worship in the presence of a God who is timeless. And Jana has asked that Psalm 46 be read to lead us into worship. Some scholars look at that psalm and ask, does it have anything to do with such a time as what's recorded in 2 Kings chapter 7, when the Hebrew city of Samaria was surrounded by Assyrian armies, and people were starving to death inside Samaria. But one morning, early before sunrise, four people with beggars with leprosy sitting around the gate said, you know, we can either die here or we can go to the Assyrians and die among them, or maybe they'll feed us and send us on our way, but we're at a point where we got to do something. And when they walked into the Assyrian camp, they found nobody. They found riches and wealth and food and clothing and weapons and armaments and nobody. Because, as the chapter says, God had made them to hear what sounded like the sound of an approaching army, and they panicked and fled. And as they later went to see what happened to the army, they found more clothing and weapons scattered and left. And so the city was saved without any bloodshed, simply by the fear of God put into the hearts of those enemies. Which leaves you to wonder, so what did they do with all the stuff like the clothing? See if 9 verse 9 gives an idea of what happened. Simply conjecture, something to think about. So let's hear these words. For Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. God utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, which may simply mean, repeat the verse. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And let us sing to that God.
Please turn in the green book, the Sing the Journey, to page number 9. Page 9 in the green book.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come.
Now turn a few pages to the front, to page number 3 in the same book. Number 3, Jesus calls us here to meet.
Presence where his people live.
If you'd now take the blue hymnal and turn to number 76, and I'd like you to stand if you're able. Number 76, Praise, I Will Praise You, Lord.
You're going to notice in the order of service, what comes next is called button prayers. So this morning, we're going to practice praying together, children and adults. So I want to ask adults to help children around you. I'm going to push this cart back and pass out some bowls of buttons, and every person is to take one button. So try to help me move the bowls through the pews quickly so everyone can have a button. Just take one button each and hold on to it. Oh, okay. Whoops. We'll do it next. We'll have the offering after the button prayers. Please take a button, pass the bowl to some others, and everyone gets one button. Children and adults, keep the bowls coming. Keep passing them through the pews. Everyone gets a button. Isaac gets a button. Where are all the bowls right now? Here's one. I had four. Four bowls. Okay. Let's keep it going over here. Take one button. Keep it going. Grab one. Pass it on. I don't want to take too much time. I know it's hard to choose. It's hard to choose. There's a whole bunch of cool ones to pick from. Keep the buttons going. I should have said, close your eyes and choose one. Did everybody get a button? Yes? Okay. I want us to do this in a prayerful posture. So don't look around at those around you, but focus on my words and how I want to lead you in this time of prayer. Look at your button. Feel the hardness of the button and think about people who are going through hard times. Ask God to help them. Buttons are used to fasten clothes together. Ask God to bring together people who have moved apart from each other. Lift prayers that He will bring peace. Look at your button and see how many holes it has. Think of that number of things you would like to say thank you to God for and say thank you prayers. Look at the color of the button and say thank you to God for something that is that color. Right where you sit, find someone who has a different button than you. It could be different in shape, size, or color. So just for a few moments, those right beside you, in front or back, find someone with a different button. Thank God for making everyone different and giving us all different gifts. Let's pray. God, when we come to you with specific problems, we include gratitude for your presence and guidance in our lives. Thank you for always being present with us. Thank you that we can always talk with you in prayer. Thank you, God, that you always listen to us when we pray. Help us to take time to listen to you. Amen. At the end of the service, you're welcome to bring your buttons back up and put them in the bowls. We'll have our offering.
I invite the ushers to come forward to receive our offerings, but we'll do this just a little bit differently. After the offertory, then bring the offering forward, and then we will pray a prayer of blessing and consecration for the gifts and the givers. But before we do, I would remind us of the words of St. Paul. He says, "In light of God's mercy, offer yourselves or your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God." In order to do that, I personally need some kind of concrete action with which to do that. And what could be sometimes more concrete than to give of a check or a cash, something so that where the treasure goes, the heart follows. So may God bless this time of offering. And when the offertory is done, please bring the baskets here.
Good morning. It would have been 1 year next month that Zion leadership affirmed and commissioned me to go for training for Stephen Ministry, and I attended a week-long training session in California. And today, we will be commissioning and affirming five women who have spent time with me over the last 3 months in this training. I want to weave my sermon into building better awareness for you of what Stephen Ministry is. There is a letter in your church box today that informs you about that more, and also encourages you to be on the lookout or to be aware of people that are going through different struggles and crisis so that you can come to our pastors and let us know this person maybe could appreciate having a Stephen minister. So it's kind of a collective job to do this kind of ministry, and you to be aware of those with those needs also. I want to begin with our scripture passage from Colossians. Colossians 1, verses 3 through 6, and verses 9 through 14. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. As I read these verses, I thought, this is the prayer that every pastor carries and prays for their congregation, is that the shepherd would hope and desire that the sheep are growing in Christ throughout their lives. That the sheep, and I'm referring to you, if you remember, Leo Hartshorn called you sheeple, that was his word for you, that they are maturing and experiencing a deeper understanding of what it means to follow Jesus. The sheep know Jesus, and they know Jesus is their Savior. They recognize their gifts to the community, and they're using those gifts. So Paul's sharing this to brothers and sisters in the faith and saying, this is what God wants for us, faithful brothers and sisters. Paul helps us remember who we are, that we be filled with the knowledge of God's will, that we have that knowledge in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, as opposed to secular worldly wisdom, that we have this wisdom in order to lead lives worthy of the Lord, that we bear good fruit, that we are made strong with all of the strength that comes from God's glorious power, that we are prepared to endure everything with patience, that we joyfully give thanks to the Father, that we recognize that God has rescued us from the power of darkness, and we say and claim that Jesus Christ is our Redeemer and Savior. So in a nutshell, Paul prays for knowledge, wisdom, right living, good works, strength, endurance, thanksgiving, and forgiveness to be the Christians of today. These are timeless truths for us. And today, during this worship service, we want to recognize and affirm servants in our congregation that are prepared to bear good fruit for this community of faith. Stephen ministers represent distinct Christian care that includes prayer, talking about God, using the Bible, and giving cups of cold water to others. We want this commissioning today to be blessed by God and recognized by this congregation to affirm the efforts of care for each other and to encourage our own spiritual growth and dependence on God. So in our training, Stephen ministers are told you are not there to fix a person or their problems. You're there to listen, to walk alongside of them, to read scripture and pray with them, and believe that God is at work in the midst of that relationship, being the cure giver. We represent a caregiver, and God is the cure giver. So who are Stephen ministers? They are volunteer lay Christians who provide one-to-one spiritual and emotional care that is focused on a care receiver's needs. They have been recruited through their interest in caregiving and their gifts and capabilities. They have committed to 50 hours of training with skills that allow them to minister to people with many different needs. They offer support, encouragement to people whose lives have been turned upside down by crisis or tragedy. Stephen ministers support people who can meet the routine demands of everyday life and would likely overcome their challenges even without the assistance of a Stephen minister, but perhaps not as quickly or as well. Those going through a crisis need someone to walk beside them, encourage them, pray with them and for them, and bear their burdens with them. A Stephen minister offers their support through attentive listening and a caring presence. Stephen ministers care for a person who is grieving, terminally ill, hospitalized, or facing separation of divorce. They may care for a single parent, a newlywed who is struggling, a person facing major changes such as relocation, termination at work, or a parent whose child is having unusual difficulties. Sometimes a situation is beyond the scope of Stephen minister skills, and a person may need professional care. And with our supervision that we continue to do together, we discern that together as what is the best way to help this person in their crisis. A Stephen minister is not a marriage counselor or a family therapist. Their role is to minister to individual care receivers and help them deal with their particular situation. Stephen ministers commit to a 2 years of being together to develop and sharpen their skills. This is with ongoing supervision and continued education. Through the words of Paul in Colossians, when we learn what Christ is like, we see what we need to become. He is Lord of all creation, and in knowing that, shouldn't we desire for him to be Lord of our whole lives? Knowing Christ brings inner wholeness and peace, and Stephen ministers show empathy, genuineness, active listening, sharing scripture that is helpful for a particular situation. Stephen ministers will meet weekly with their care receiver. Christian caregiving embodies the gospel. Jesus is our role model. We incarnate the Christian message, so our caring gives flesh and bones to God's good news. We desire for God to make people whole. Again, he is the cure giver as we walk alongside those who are struggling. What is the source of love that we draw from when we're here on Sunday morning? People desperately need the love of Jesus, and so do we. May he enable us to do growth in, may he enable us to grow in our love for him and each other. Stephen ministers are God's gifts to this congregation to love and care for each other as members of God's family. God is still present in our world today and working through his people, his followers, me and you. Stephen ministers are one of the ways God reaches out to hurting people with his healing love. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul writes, God has given all of us a variety of gifts to build up the church. Those serving as Stephen ministers are using their compassionate gifts to care and build up others. The church needs to be a healing, caring community. Galatians 2:6, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. The caring ministry of pastors here at Zion will not change. That is always something that pastors are doing, but this ministry is going to complement that of the pastors for the congregation and community. I want to also emphasize that the relationship a Stephen minister has with the care receiver is confidential. Even during supervision, Stephen ministers do not mention names or specific details. The care receiver's privacy is always respected and honored. Romans 12:15, we are called to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, Paul admonished the church to encourage the disheartened and help the weak. Christ calls us, his body, the church, to see and meet the needs for care around us and in our world. Let's pray. God, you created this beautiful earth. Open our eyes to the wonders you have made. Jesus, who loves us with a power greater than our own imagining, we open our hearts to your great spirit, whose peace passes all understanding, that our lives would be lives of peace with your comfort and love for us today and throughout our lives. Amen. So just on a personal note, I know I've shared this before, but I feel like I need to make it personal. My dear mother was a Stephen minister for probably a good 8 years of her life up until her death. And at different times that I would go to visit her in Indiana, I just tend to get with my mom and unload. So there I am, and I'm just spilling my guts because I can do that with my mother. And more than one time, she would say to me, Jana, your church needs Stephen ministry. And me, in my all arrogantness way, okay, Mom, sure, whatever, but let me get back to what I was telling you. You know, I need to say these things. And I really poo-pooed it. I really just didn't pay attention. And it wasn't until after she passed away that Zion was talking about this ministry. And I was looking at their website, and I was reading what this was about. And this is like, Mom, you knew. You knew what I needed to be doing and focusing on in my ministry. So I still hear her voice, you know, almost saying, I told you so. You know, just pay attention better, Jana. So I feel very blessed to have been affirmed for the training. These five women have been gracious with me. It was my first year of doing the training, so I didn't always feel real confident in all of the material. And they just walked with me, and we learned together. And we've bonded. We're like a small group. We've shared our own struggles and ways of coping with challenges in life. So I appreciate these five women. I do want to say that Stephen ministry is for men too, and I will continue to look at others here and their gifting and want to see this grow, that there's other people affirmed in the future for Stephen Ministry. So we're not going to stop at just five women, okay? But at this time, I'm going to invite Matthew to come up, and there's some vows that I'm going to be taking as the Stephen leader, and then I'll invite the five women to come up.
By the way, Jana, what's your mother's name?
Wilma.
Wilma. Okay. Well. Okay. Hands off. Well, thank God for Wilma and her encouragement to you and to us as well. And I'd say too that I guess it was several months ago. I walked in here to get some stuff out of my office on a Monday evening. And I heard this wonderful laughter coming from down the hall and around the corner in one of the skylight rooms. And you can tell from just listening the difference between laughing at someone and laughing with someone. And what I was hearing from around the corner was this wonderful laughing with each other. And I recognized some of the laughter, who they were, and I thought, oh, that's the Stephen Ministry training group. So, guys, let's step up to the plate. You're missing out on some good training and times, and let's see about expanding that ministry in the future. So, I will lead the prayers and the questions, and then we will invite our first Stephen Ministries ministers here. Jana, you have attended the training at a Stephen Series Leaders training and have been asked to serve as a Stephen leader at Zion Mennonite Church. You are a gift of God to us to lead us in this ministry of equipping and caring. And as Christians who are a part of the priesthood of all believers, all of us are called to offer ourselves to our Lord in thanksgiving for what God has done and continues to do for us in Jesus Christ. But it is also our privilege to recognize and support those who are trained for specific ministries in this congregation, especially today as we recognize and affirm Stephen Ministry and our Stephen leader, Jana. And Jana, because of your gifts, your calling, and your training, we charge you with these responsibilities: to build awareness of our growing Stephen Ministry, to solicit the commitment of this congregation to Stephen Ministry at every opportunity, to seek out and to train Stephen ministers whose gift it is to share one-to-one caring ministry, to work with the pastor of this congregation to identify members who could benefit from this confidential caring ministry, and to assign the trained caregiver who most appropriately fits a person's need, and to supervise these confidential caring relationships, and to offer opportunities for continuing growth in the skills and the practice of caring ministry. So, Jana, I will present these vows to you. Jana, will you assume this ministry in the confidence that it comes from God?
To help me.
And members of Zion, will you open your hearts to the ministry of this Stephen leader, Jana, and pray for her as a servant of Christ? If so, please answer yes with the help of God. Together? Yes, with the help of God. And now I invite the Stephen ministers to come forward. Carolyn Yoder, Chris, Karen Krupp, Chris Cady, Cheryl Mast, Luann Berkey.
thank you for being here. Dear sisters, you have been equipped to serve as Stephen ministers at Zion Mennonite Church. Listen now to the words we find in Scripture. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. As the Lord Jesus has shown his care to you, we ask you to help this congregation grow as a caring community through your own caring ministry. Are you prepared to meet those requests that we ask of you?
Yes, with the help of God.
And we ask you, Zion, to open your hearts to this ministry and these women, and to pray for them that they may be effective servants of Christ. Are you prepared to meet this request? If so, answer, yes, with the help of God. We ask you to accept their ministry when you need help, to allow these women to work with you as you face struggles in your life, that you might receive support and help from your Christian sisters. If you are prepared to meet this request, answer yes with the help of God. And to my Stephen ministers, Carolyn, Chris, Karen, Cheryl, and Luann, are you prepared to serve as Stephen ministers for this congregation, Zion Mennonite Church?
Yes, with the help of God.
I have to keep my hands off of that. I invite any who wish to come forward also now to join us, laying hands on our Stephen Ministries and Jana as I lead us in prayer. Whoever wishes, please come forward to join.
Could someone take a few pictures after the people walk down? I mean now, but maybe just afterwards of the group to
please join me all in praying. Oh God, we ask you to take our sisters, Carolyn, Karen, Cheryl, Luann, Chris, and Jana, into your care. You have blessed them with particular gifts and talents and have provided them with an opportunity to learn more about helping people. May they serve you with the power of the Holy Spirit. May they be quick to serve, patient in listening, willing to share themselves with people, and give to us thankful hearts for them, and show them in times of stress and satisfaction a special measure of your mercy and joy. Keep them strong in the faith that you have given them for the sake of Jesus, our shepherd, who cares for all of us in every way forever. Amen. And may the Lord of the church fill you all with the Holy Spirit and guide, bless, and keep you so that you may be faithful in the ministry to which you have been called, affirmed, gifted, trained, and sent. And go now in peace to love and to serve the Lord. We can say, okay. All right.
Let's stand as we sing number 307 in the blue hymnal, "Will You Let Me Be Your Servant?" 307. And we'll have women's, our high voices on verse 3 and low voices on verse 4.